Here comes Dominguez now. Here comes Dominguez now with wet one. Wet one coming down to the line. Oh, what a day for Ramon Dominguez. What a day for Ramon Dominguez. He wins a record-tying sixth.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
Hi, I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Ramon Dominguez. The 44-year-old multiple Eclipse Award-winning jockey won nearly 5,000 races, including the Travers, the Breeders' Cup Turf twice, the Arlington Million, the Woodward, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and Road Stars, Havre de Grace, Gio Ponti, Better Talk Now, and so many others. Welcome to the show, Ramon.
Thank you, Sean, for having me.
Now, I said jockey Ramon Dominguez at the introduction because you will always be a jockey in my book. You retired after suffering a head injury in 2013. How's retired life?
Retired life is good. I continue working on different things, just a new chapter in my life, and certainly was smiling when you said jockey.
Exactly. What keeps you busy these days? I know it's been almost 8 years, I guess, since you retired. What keeps you busy?
So, yes, busy with different things. I mean, personally, just still involved with things family-wise, enjoying family, and just enjoying also Saratoga, which is home for me now, Saratoga Springs. And I have been working on a couple projects, one of them a riding crop that I invented, and a lot of people know about it in the horse racing world. Also going into the other equestrian disciplines, and most recently, started working with a friend on a platform that we named Exacta Box, which we, through that platform, we're looking to bring content to the Spanish-speaking horse racing fan. And that has been something that we have enjoyed, and just do an interview and pre and post race analysis, among other things. So, yeah, that keeps me pretty busy.
Yeah, you were always playing the long game, saving your money, thinking about your next step, right? I mean, you were always one of those guys you kind of watched that was planning the rest of your life.
Yes, I am. Certainly, I'm happy with just living today and throughout my career. I didn't have to have the most expensive thing. So that certainly has helped through these retirement days where I am not making the money that I was making when I was riding. However, there is no huge needs in terms of having to fulfill something that was too big for my financial capability at the time. So nowadays, just enjoying life's simple pleasures in some ways.
Yeah, you've always been good at that. How tough was it to be forced to retire? I mean, you didn't really get your choice. You had a fall and had a dramatic brain injury. How tough was that for you?
So it was tough once that I came to realize that's what's going to happen for a while after my accident. When I had I was cognitively capable of thinking about what was happening and so on. I was planning on coming back, and that was pretty exciting for me to come back to riding. And then when I realized that was no longer a choice, you do go through what I call like a grieving period where, despite being your job or what you do as a career, you can't help to feel in some ways attached to that, or as if that is part of who you are, even if that's not the case. So it was a little bit difficult walking away or separating myself from the fact that I was no longer going to ride races. But I kind of with the support of my family, friends, and so on. And shortly afterwards, I ended up going to the track against my will, really, because my wife pushed me to go to the track. And that was the best thing that I could have done, because it really helped me to turn the page. And in no time, I was able to enjoy the races and just looking at it from a different perspective without feeling a sense of loss. Like, my gosh, I wish I was there. So as I said in the beginning of our conversation, it's just another chapter in my life, and I'm fully embracing it and enjoying it as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I retired, I kind of now look back at it like that was a segment of my life. I enjoyed it. It was fun, but I've moved on, and I'm not that person anymore. I'm not really the it's almost like college. You look back and say, okay, that was my college life. Is that kind of how you look at riding races?
Well said. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly how I feel. Yep.
And I've had my share of concussions and suffered. I felt like I got better the further. I feel like I've gotten better the further away from those, you know, kind of the concussions that I've had. Is that something that do you physically and mentally feel better as you've gotten further away from that injury?
I have been extremely blessed, and even the doctors who have seen me, from my neurologist to my neuropsychologist, they are blown away by how amazingly well I have progressed in my recovery overall. So at the same time, I mean, the main thing that forced my retirement, it wasn't whether I was capable of getting on a horse, is just the risk involved with me after so many head injuries, and the most recent one or the latest one, certainly being at a totally different level. But nowadays, we know, science know, that 1 + 1 when it comes to head injury doesn't equal 2. It's something that is immensely greatly. And so for me to be exposed to even have a small head injury or a normal concussion was no longer going to be a normal concussion, and it was going to bring along some negative effects. So the doctor say, no, we cannot clear you. You cannot go back to riding. So that was my case.
Yeah, and that's pretty sobering, right, when they tell you that? I mean, they told me that. It's a big wake-up call when you kind of hear that.
It is, and of course, there are two ways to look at it, and actually both ways came into play, where one is, gosh, this is unfortunate, this is no good, just not being able to ride races anymore, but at the same time, being responsible in terms of doing what the doctors said that I needed to do. Also, allow me to kind of step back and look at it from a totally different perspective, in knowing that I'm lucky and that I'm lucky to follow their recommendation and be able to at least live a good life and not have to suffer the consequences of getting my head again.
Definitely. And you've lived that good life since then. I mean, it seems like you've taken, I'm sure it was an adaptive period to kind of come to grips to it, but it seems like you're living a quality life now, and you always say live in the moment, and kind of, you know, enjoy today. It's something that you've always kind of followed.
True. And of course, I mean, one thing that perhaps did my retirement or made it a little bit more difficult is the fact that professionally, I mean, it requires, as you know, a lot of time and a lot of effort and so many different obstacles to overcome to get to a point where you feel satisfied that you are accomplishing your goals. And that was the case with me, where I was living the highlight of my career. I was doing so well. And then, I mean, I guess my point is it would have probably been easier if, even if it wasn't by choice to retire, if I wasn't the downside of my career or my days as a jockey were kind of coming to an end, that you say, okay, well, I had a good career, but I was actually enjoying finally great success or great accomplishment given the work that I put prior to it. So having said that, again, I just count my blessings, and when I reflect back on my career, I do it while smiling and being blessed of all the great things that I was able to do and the people that I met and so on. And now definitely living the moment, but also enjoying this new chapter, and even simple stuff like going for a run, something that I enjoy very much, and things that perhaps before, even if I could do it, it was totally different. Going for a run before, it was with a plastics on and a plastic suit on and to lose weight, and nowadays I do it just for fun.
Now, Ramon, I'm just a guy who runs, okay? I mean, I'm a guy who runs, and you are a runner. I've seen you at the starts of the 5K. People say, did you run the 5K with Ramon? I go, well, I mean, we ran the same 5K, but I didn't run it with him. So you're very fast and very very dedicated to it. Is that something, was that something that kind of replaced riding a little bit to really get motivated and kind of run like that?
I absolutely love it, and it's exactly what you said. In some ways, this has replaced the thrill of riding a race because it's really, there are so many similarities. Like, I'm in the starting line for a 5K race, and my heart is beating so fast, almost like if I'm in the starting gate to ride the Kentucky Derby. And it's silly, but it's because I like it that much. And I would love to be able to put out that time and get better and get faster. I have been dealing with some injuries, actually, while running, just some stress fractures. And as it turned out, later on in life, I have developed, my bone density is not quite where it should be, something they call osteopenia, which is no osteoporosis. I had to kind of cut back and not run as many miles a week. And it's something that actually is hereditary, which my mom has it. So the good news is with men, it can be reversed. So I'm hoping that I can reverse it because I do like running that much. I absolutely could make I don't want to say a career out of it because I cannot live off running. But I certainly love the whole competition and the strategy behind it.
See, you're running too fast. I've been trying to tell you that. You got to slow down and get there, get in the back with us. With us, you know, us mortal people. What's your fastest 5K run time in your career?
The first one was last year. I ran a 17:05. So my goal will be to break into the 16s. Hopefully this year. So we'll see.
All right, I'll see you at the start, and I'll see you at the finish when you've cooled down and had three glasses of water and ate a few bananas. I'll see you then. jockeys live by the scales all day, every day. When was the last time you get on a scale? Is that something you think about anymore? I mean, you never think about your weight or worry about it. Must be a good feeling to not have to worry about it.
Yes, it is a great feeling, and I nowadays, of course, I don't have to weigh myself. And however, I haven't really gained a lot of weight. And some people will see me and say, "Oh my gosh, you're just lucky that you were built like that." And I do feel like if I were to live a quote unquote a normal life and just eat what I wanted when I wanted, I know that my body would look differently now. So it's just something that becomes a way of life. Nowadays, I mean, I can eat anything I want, but it's not even, I don't even think about it. When I'm going to eat something, I know what to eat and what not to eat. Like, I like a burger. I wouldn't eat a burger. I just, yeah, or pizza or anything like that. I just, I don't know. It's not even a conscious thought. It's just I will gravitate towards eating a salad. So, but it's great to, for example, one thing that was, because I was fortunate, although I'm tall, when I was riding I would lose weight daily, but it wasn't something drastic. But the one thing that did bother me is when I picked up the overnight and I saw that in 2 or 3 days, I had a light mount, not to be able to drink as much water as I wanted at night. That did bother me because I would be thirsty after riding all day, and I had to really be careful about how much water I will drink because the next day I had a light mouth. So nowadays I can drink as much water as I want. So that's definitely something that I enjoy and I don't take for granted.
No doubt. I mean, that's what people don't probably understand when it comes to jockeys. It really comes down to water weight, and you have to really be careful just drinking that water. And you adopted kind of an unusual but obviously effective style. Almost, I always said you kind of hovered above the horse's center of balance. Was that natural or something you worked on? I mean, how did you develop that style?
So when I started riding in Venezuela, where I'm from, there was not a jockey school, so I learned from first at a couple of farms and basically on my own, and it became something that I just by learning on my own, I adopted some, let's just call it bad habits, just because I didn't know. And although sometimes people will be like, "Oh my gosh, the way you even swing to use the crop or the way you look on a horse." And it was something that if I had a choice, I would have done it differently. I would have looked like somebody else that I know that looks much better than me. But it's the mentality of it's hard to teach an old dog a new trick. And after you have done it for so many years, it's very difficult to really change drastically, at least your style. So, but yes, my style was a product in terms of physically how I look or mechanically on a horse, just learning on my own and doing it over and over. But it was not the best way to do it. So in the other part of the style, they actually touch with the horse and the finesse and the listening to the horse. That also was a product of my own repetition, but also learning from my own mistakes. And but it also has to do with my beginnings of really being around horses, which was in a show jumping. I did it for a year, and I learned so many great things. That was an amazing foundation for me, even as a jockey, just that touch and that communication with the horse.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, watching you ride, it was you had a real uncanny style. But you had the horses were very listening to the horses, that light finesse style, and it always seemed like horses were. You always kind of had them light on their feet. When you needed to make that move, you could make that move. You know, turning for home on the grass, you always kind of knew Ramon Dominguez, that horse. For you, who's the Mount Rushmore of jockeys? I mean, the best, you know, four or five, or you, the guys that you've watched, emulated, you know, kind of tried to be like, guys out there that you grew up watching and riding against, who are they?
So there were so many. I mean, from back home when I first started riding, but then as I moved to the U.S., and I always say that I learn from any jockey and every jockey. If you ask me about a jockey, I can tell you what I learned from them, maybe good or maybe something that I'm like, well, I learned that I don't do this because this guy was doing it incorrectly. And here in the U.S., it is difficult for me. I cannot say only two or three jockeys because, again, I learn from all of them. I look up to so many of them. I'm a big fan of Jose Lescano. To me, is an amazing, and actually as well as he has done on the rated jockey, especially on the grass, he's amazing. I'm a big fan of Joel Rosario. To me, as a closer, he's incredible. And talking about that finesse and that touch and that communication with the horse, he has that to a T, where he's able to get those horses relaxed and then fly home. But just like I mentioned those two, I can talk about any and many of them that have an asset or a strength in certain area. And so I can pick and see so many great attributes some of them have in different ways. And that's great to be able to recognize and acknowledge that, because as you are riding, you can also try to emulate or try to follow certain things that they may do.
That's great. Exactly. You want to learn from all of them, different styles, and you try to learn from everybody. I'm going to borrow this question from one of my favorite podcasts, How I Built This. When you look back at your success, Ramon, how much of it was luck, and how much of it was hard work or talent? I mean, when you look back at your career.
So I was extremely fortunate. I mean, you can say, gosh, you were so lucky that, for example, that I had the agent that I have for the last 13 years, which without a question, he was an extremely key component of our accomplishments. Steve Rushing is just an incredible guy. So you can say, well, you were lucky to have him. But then if you unpeel the onion, so to speak, and go back to how I was able to connect or to start working with him, he didn't choose me because something in particular, because I look good on a horse or because anything. He actually did his work, and he asked around and about jockeys, and he realized that maybe I had what he was looking for in terms of the one thing that people don't talk about. Let's put aside the needed physical abilities, but equally important, your character, how you conduct yourself. You are somebody who's dedicated. You're somebody who's responsible. And I know that I had it. So when you look at it from that view, the so-called luck doesn't seem to be so much luck, but the fact that I put the work into it, I did things correctly. So, yes, not having said that, of course, things have to click into play. Place I went once we got together, things started happening correctly. We started winning races. So, but I do feel like I also put the work in the things the way they were supposed to in order for things to flow correctly, if that makes sense. But even going back to the beginning of my career, and funny because I was part of a call yesterday with somebody with a trouble retirement fund, and we spoke about this, that there was a key and pivotal moment when I was coming from the show jumping school to my house, taking a bus, which I had to take a couple buses, and a kid in the back of the bus called me because I had my helmet or my whip in my hand, and he asked me if I was a jockey, and I said no, and he said that he was riding race horses in a close by training center, and he told me where he was, and the next day I ended up going there, and that was my first time getting on a racehorse. But it wasn't until recent, a few months ago, because we have remaining in contact, he's actually right now galloping in Japan, and he said to me, Ramon, I don't think that I ever told you why I was in that bus. And I said, I don't think so. And he said, well, I was in that bus because I was talking too much in class, and the teacher told me to go home. So when you talk about luck or coincidence, I mean, what were the chances of that happening? Yes, that led to me going to the track, and the rest is history.
Wow, what a story. They say, give yourself the opportunity to get lucky, and I guess that's kind of what you've done. You got lucky meeting him on that bus that day, but then you took advantage of that luck and built a stellar career on hard work and, I think what you said, dedication and being dedicated and being responsible, and that's I'd probably sum up watching you ride through the years, talent, dedication, and being responsible. And we miss you. We miss you, miss watching you, that turning for home, revving that horse up, that hovering style. But we're sure glad you're still in the game and making a positive difference. Hopefully we will see you at Saratoga this summer.
Thank you. All right, Sean.